turning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. That is going to be our home base that we'll start at, but we're going to hit several different passages, and this is going to be a fairly different sermon than what I normally do. For those of you that are visiting with us, we on Sunday mornings we have been doing a series on Ephesians, but I took a pause on that last week on Christmas Eve, and now on New Year's Eve I want to do something also different. Lord willing, we will pick back up in Ephesians next Sunday. But I want to talk this morning about the idea of spiritual goals. And this comes out of my own kind of personal evaluation. Thinking about what I need to be doing spiritual. And so this, you know, this comes out of, you know, a period of self-reflection. In, you know, investigation of myself, and I wanted to share that with you, and even use this as a challenge to each of you around the idea of setting goals for our spiritual life. Now, this is New Year's Eve, and with New Year's, sometimes we think about the idea of what? New Year's resolutions. And some people have positive thoughts about New Year's resolutions, and some people have very negative thoughts about New Year's resolutions, because there is, I think, a perspective that a lot of New Year's resolutions are something that at the beginning of the year we're fired up about, and we're gonna go all in, we're gonna go head first, and maybe by February we're not quite so fired up about them anymore. For years and years, I was a member of a gym, and if you went to the gym in December, you could park wherever you wanted to. You didn't have to wait for any piece of equipment. You could move around freely within the gym. But then it turns to the first week of January, and you got to go park in the next city. And you get in there, and you can't move. You have to wait 10 minutes for every piece of equipment. But then by February, it's just like it was in December, right? Because everybody had their New Year's resolutions, and by February, they'd given up on them, right? And so there's kind of that connotation. So I don't want to think about this with the word resolutions. I want to think about this in terms of goals, and not just confined to a year, you know, 2024, but just the concept of setting goals in general. I am a big believer in the power of setting goals. And, you know, maybe you set goals as well. You know, you can set goals for your career. You know, things that you want to achieve in your career, objectives you want to meet. You can set goals in school, you know, grades you want to make, things you want to be involved in. If you're in sports, you can set, you know, sports with the school. You can set goals for sports. You know, one of the things that Sarah is in cross country, and, you know, this last year was her first year in cross country in high school, and I tried to help her learn how to set goals for cross country. And I even remember at the end of her eighth grade year, she had to meet with one of the guidance counselors in the end of eighth grade, and Olivia and I went with her. And one of the things the guidance counselor looked at everything that she was involved in, you know, academics, she's in a lot of the fine arts, she does cross country, and the guidance counselor went through and made her set goals for all of those things for high school. You know, why? Why do we do goals in your career and hobbies and school? And because goals help us grow. Goals help us reach out beyond where we are right now to move forward. But what I've been thinking about recently in my own personal study, and again, as I said, my own personal reflection is, while we, at least, maybe this is just me, but my perception is maybe this is a lot of us. We may set goals in a lot of areas of our life, but many of us don't take that into our spiritual life. We don't set goals in our spiritual life. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about this passage in Luke 14. And I have preached from this passage before, and I'm not going to do a deep dive on this text, okay, this morning. I look back and I've done a sermon from Luke, this parable, or not these two parables, and this statement by Jesus in Luke 14. I've done that here, and I've done entire lessons about that. But I want to do kind of an overview of what Jesus does here, what in the stories that he tells, and talk about why I think that should make us think about setting spiritual goals. Okay? In this account, Luke 14, beginning in verse 25-26, it says that Jesus was accompanied by great crowds. Now, there's a lot of different reasons why people were following Jesus. Okay? Some of them generally wanted to hear his teaching. They recognized him as a powerful teacher. They recognized him as someone who was speaking something they needed to hear and they wanted to learn. But there were also there people who were probably just curious because he had been performing miracles. And they were like, hey, what's this guy all about? And then there were those who were following him because they felt threatened by him, especially like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he's changing things and he's kind of hitting at what we're all about. He's going to take people away from us. And they were looking for what? Ways to bring him down. So there's people there with all different types of motivation, and Jesus turns and looks at them. It's like, you're just following me around. But let me tell you something. If you want to be my disciple, what? You got to take up your cross. Now, we've said that, we've learned that, we've memorized that verse so much that I think we've dulled down what he's actually saying. What was the cross? It was a means of execution. Right? Roman execution. That'd be like today saying, grab your electric chair, right? Grab your gas chamber, okay? This was significant. He says, take up your cross and follow me. And then after that, he says, unless someone, and he says, hates, and he lists, you know, father, mother, sister, brother, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, again, we're not going to do a super deep dive on that, but in Jewish culture, to hate meant to love less. Okay? Jesus did not hate his own mother. Even hanging on the cross, he made provisions for her continued care. What Jesus was saying was, there is a cost to following me. And the cost is, everything in your life has to be second to me. Whether that's family, whether that's your spouse, whether that's your parents, or even yourself, everything has to be second if you're going to follow me. Okay? Get that? That's the comment. And so if everything, including your own family, has to be second, and even your own life to the point where if it's necessary, you'd be willing to lay down your life for Christ, what does that tell us? There's a big cost with being a disciple of Christ, right? That's what he's trying to tell the crowd. You can't just follow me around and be one of my disciples. There's a cost. And then he tells two stories. And the first story, these are illustrations. Okay, some might call them parables. They're illustrations. And both of them deal with someone attempting to take on a significant effort, a significant task. Okay, the first one, to build a tower, right? Which of you, if you were going to build a great tower, wouldn't first plan on how you're going to complete it, right? Otherwise, what happens? You only get the foundation built, and you don't have, you know, you run out of resources, you run out of money, you run out of people to help you, whatever it is, and now you've just got a foundation with no tower, and people walk by, and they mock you for it because you didn't plan for the cost. You didn't plan for what it was going to take. Every time I study that, I think about just around the corner from my house, there is a house, a house in quotes. It's a piece of a house. I don't know anything about it. But they started it probably 7 or 8 years ago, and they barely built one corner of it, and then it's just sat there ever since then. I think about that. That house, I don't know why they didn't finish it. But it's just a piece of a house. Doesn't even have anything on the outside. It just has insulation on the outside. It's been sitting there again 7 or 8 years. He says, if you don't plan for it, you're not going to be able to finish it. Then he talks about somebody fighting a battle against an army that's bigger than what you have. And you've got to plan. You've got to prepare for whether or not this is something you can take on. Can you take on this effort? Right? Otherwise, you're going to get defeated. You're going to be defeated. Or if you realize when you play, if you think about it, plan it out, realize I can't do this, then I need to negotiate with this other army, right? Whatever it is, these significant tasks, I've got a plan for. So why did I go through all that? Because what I've been thinking about is, if I know that there is a significant cost to being a disciple of Christ, and I know through the illustrations that Jesus expects for me to continually plan on how I'm going to make this the number one priority in my life, how am I going to live this out in my life? If that's what Jesus expects of me, then should I not personally be setting goals which lead me to continually grow and to make my walk with Christ the number one thing in my life? If I do that in work, and I do that in school, and I do that in hobbies, shouldn't I also be doing that in my spiritual life? Shouldn't I be putting things out there in front of me to make sure that I continually grow and I continually build up my life in Christ? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I got a couple of head nods. I'll take it. Most of them are asleep. That's okay. It's okay. We'll wake you up in a minute. But that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And this lesson has two parts. Okay, you got a bunch of blanks on the handout. By the way, if you got a bulletin, on the back of the bulletin is a handout. The handout kind of gives you an overview of the lesson this morning, and there's a bunch of blanks. All those blanks are divided into two categories. Okay? The first category is examples. Okay? That's where we're going to go next. Examples. I'm going to give you some examples of some spiritual goals. This is not, hey, these are the goals you should set. These are examples. Okay? Everybody, I believe, has to set their own spiritual goals. Okay? Because only you know where you are spiritually. Right? But I'm going to give you some examples to help you think through it. And then, we're going to talk about some guidelines for setting goals. Okay? For setting spiritual goals. And my challenge to you and to me is to set goals for your spiritual life to move you forward. Okay? Here's some examples. Okay? Here's some examples. All right? First one is maybe have goals around the reading and the studying of Scripture. Okay? The reading and studying of Scripture. Now, this is maybe the most obvious one out there. Because a lot of people at the beginning of the year set, you know, objectives or resolutions or whatever about, you know, reading the Bible. And I think that's a worthy thing. Right? I mean, I've got on the handout reference of the first Psalm, you know, blessed is man who meditates, you know, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on that law he meditates day and night. Right? And then on the other end of Scripture, 2 Timothy 3, you know, Paul tells Timothy, the last thing Paul wrote in the New Testament, Paul probably at the very end of his life, probably facing execution imminently after he wrote this. And he says, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, how you have known from your youth, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation. What does he tell Timothy? One of the last things he tells him, stay in the Word. Okay? So it's important. Staying in the Word is important. Now, some of us are not in the Word as much as we should be. Right? We're not in the Word as much as we should be. So why not set a goal to move forward from where you are right now? Okay? To move forward from where you are right now. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But is that not a worthy goal to move us forward spiritually? To be in the Word regularly. And to put something out there, tangible, that we can reach for. Okay? Again, I'll talk more about that in a minute. What about prayer? Prayer. I've got two references there. Both say essentially the same thing. Romans 12, 1 Thessalonians 5. Both written by Paul. But Romans, the end of chapter 12, the middle of chapter 12, he says, be constant in prayer. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, at the end of that letter, he says, pray without ceasing, right? He says, this needs to be a regular part of your life. And so again, just like I said with reading and studying, I feel confident there are many of us who are not where we need to be in our prayer life. And so why not put something out in front of us to reach for in improving and making our prayer life more consistent, right? More a constant in our lives. Encouragement. I've got a couple of references there, three references. Hebrews 3, Hebrews 10, 1 Thessalonians 5. Again, same place in Thessalonians. But just listen to this. Hebrews 3. Exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today. Hebrews 10. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Encourage one another and build one another up. Verse 14, we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. I mean, clearly, encouragement should be one of the cornerstones of our activities in Christ. But again, many of us, including myself, are not where we need to be or can be in terms of offering encouragement. So why not set a goal? Once a week, I'm going to offer encouragement to somebody that I know needs it. Well, how? Well, it could be a phone call. It could be face-to-face. It could be a note that you write and send to somebody. But that's something you can set an objective for, right? You can set a goal. You know, and we'll talk more about the guidelines around that. But encouragement is a worthy thing that we should be reaching for, to be encouraging, okay? The next thing, marriage and family. So wait a minute, I thought this was about spiritual life. Who established marriage? God. Genesis 2, right? Shall leave father and mother and shall, you know, cleave to each other and shall become, the two shall become one flesh, right? Established by God in the second chapter of Genesis. Paul, we're gonna get here next in Ephesians, Lord willing. When we pick back up, we're going to be in the second half of chapter 5, which is where he talks about husband and wife submitting to one another. And in that, he quotes from Genesis 2, saying the same thing, right? This was an institution established by God. And so, again, we can say, well, if this is something established by God and we are married, what are we doing? What are we doing to enrich our marriages? What are we doing to strengthen our marriages? I know with us, I mean, a lot of you guys know this, we are always doing, I mean, we're busy. Busy. I mean, our kids are doing stuff every day, and it's busy. It's hard to find time to make time for each other. So, you know, one of the things that I want to do is I want to set a goal for, like, once a month, we're having a date night. You know, whatever it takes to make time for that, where it's just the two of us that go do something together, we're going to do it, right? It could be anything, but making a goal around making time for each other in the midst of your, you know, our crazy lives, right? And same thing with your family. You know, family is, you know, what comes from marriage. You have families, but maybe there's objectives you can set in your families. You know, just a thought, if it's not your habit to eat meals together, maybe you could set a goal for, hey, once a week, twice a week, we're going to have everybody eating our meals together so that we can grow closer to each other. We can talk about our days. We can talk about our lives. I don't know, just things that we can do to strengthen and enrich our marriages and our families. What about volunteering. There are so many opportunities out there for volunteering to help those who need help. To help those who need help physically, for physical needs, and help those who need help spiritually, okay? There's so many opportunities out there, okay? I'm going to give you three possibilities. This is not to say these are the three things you should do. I didn't want to offer this out there without giving you some ideas, okay? But here's three ideas, and I've got these in your bulletin so you don't have to write these down. But here's three things, you know, that you could be involved in volunteering with. Churches of Christ Disaster Relief, based in Nashville, and they respond to disasters all over the United States. They load boxes, they load trucks, and they send those trucks out to places that have had floods and tornadoes and hurricanes. And I mean, they are constantly doing work to help those who have been affected by disasters. And I think it's every Tuesday they take volunteers at their location over on Trousdale in Nashville to load boxes and load trucks, okay? So again, could there be an objective there if you said, hey, I'm gonna volunteer with disaster relief, you know, maybe once a month or, you know, six times a year, whatever, I'm gonna go volunteer and I'm gonna go help them load trucks, right? That they're gonna send out to places in need. That's just, again, one example. World Bible School, many of you probably are familiar with World Bible School, been around forever. You know, back when I first started doing stuff in World Bible School, it was all paper. It was all paper. You had these very thin Bible correspondence courses that you send out, and then the students would send back. But the idea is that these are Bible correspondence courses, and they're sent to places in the U.S. They're sent to places all over the world. You have students, but now it's mostly electronic. Because so many places have access to the internet, and you can do this electronically. And what is it? Again, you can volunteer to be a teacher. And with a teacher, the students get to the lesson, they do the lessons online, and then you as a teacher go in and grade the lessons and give them feedback and work with them, and then you send them the next lesson, and you send them the next lesson, and you send them the next lesson, and you study, you're basically studying with them, okay? In a non-threatening, I mean, you don't have to be like face-to-face with somebody if that's something that makes you nervous. You're doing it through a computer, okay? They also have a new platform that World Bible School has just launched called Methodist. Don't ask me to explain what that name means. I became familiar with it because the president of World Bible School goes to the church that Kate does in Searcy. And I went, one week when we were visiting with him, he did a demo of this new application, but it's called Methodist, and it's a discipling piece of software on the internet, okay? And they form these discipleship groups for people that want to grow in their faith, people that want to learn, you know, the message of the Bible, and the interface is lessons, videos, you know, all kinds of stuff. And what they're looking for is people who are willing to be mentors, who will go in and join these groups and you know, help to disciple people who are looking to grow in their faith. Again, it's an opportunity to volunteer. World English Institute is something that both my wife Olivia and Kate have been involved in, but this is an organization that teaches people English by using the Bible. And what they look for are teachers that receive the lessons back from the students and grade them and provide feedback, but it's all through Scripture. So people who not only don't know English, they also mostly don't know Scripture, and so they have an opportunity to learn both through this. And so again, you could set goals of like, hey, this year, you know, this month I'm going to take on two new students or whatever. There's opportunities for goals. This is just three things. And again, there are so many opportunities out there. And I even just jotted down some other things that are not in the handout or not in the blanks, but you could set goals related to giving, right? Clearly, giving is something that is mandated in Scripture. And you could set goals related to giving. You know, I'm going to increase my giving. I'm going to be more sacrificial. You could set goals related to attending worship services, right? You could set goals related to attending worship. Hey, I'm only attending Sunday morning. But I'm going to, you know, this year I'm going to start trying to come Wednesday nights too. Bible study, where we do deep Bible study. Maybe you could set a goal related to being more involved in the functions of the church. Like maybe even saying, hey, I want to teach a kid's class. I'm not doing that right now. It's something I want to do. You know, or I want to be involved in the worship service. I want to, you know, whatever it is that I can increase my participation in the work of the church. Okay, so those are just some examples. All right. Now, I know we're running long, so I'm going to try to go through these fairly quickly. But I want to talk about some guidelines. Now, there are thousands of books and websites and resources out there that will tell you what is the surefire strategy of how you set goals. Okay. I did not pull this list from any website or any book. I pulled this list from personal experience. Okay. So maybe the things don't quite, or they're not super polished, whatever. But this is all from personal experience on setting goals, okay? Personal experience on setting goals. what I believe are the important things when you're going to set a goal. The first thing is that I believe a goal should be challenging. Okay? I don't mean that it should be super, super difficult. But I mean that a goal, in order for a goal to be effective, it has to push you forward. Okay? It should be there designed to push you forward and to grow. I was thinking about Hebrews. I think I put that in the notes. Yeah, Hebrews 5 through the first part of chapter 6. And in the Hebrew letter, where the writer is addressing these Jewish Christians who are in danger of falling back into Judaism, he says, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you, again, the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. He's saying, you should have been moving forward. Instead, you're doing what? You're standing still, right? Later on in chapter 6, he will say, leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. Move forward, right? Grow. You know, the whole purpose of setting goals is not for us to earn our salvation. It's not to check boxes and go, woo, now I'm a good person. No. It's to grow in maturity. To grow in maturity. To be more of the person that Christ wants us to be. And so a goal should be challenging. Now, learning how to set challenging goals is hard. Making sure that they're not too hard, but they're also not too easy. You know, that's one of the things that Sarah worked on this year in cross country was, how do I figure out how to set good goals? You know, good goals that are going to challenge me, but are not too easy to attain, right? There was, independent of me, the coaches went to all the people in cross country and said, hey, each one of you, we all want you to set two goals. I want you to set a season goal. Sarah's a freshman. I want you to set a season goal, the goal that you want to beat this season. This was in the middle of the season, I think, Sarah, right? Goal I want you to beat this, that you want to meet this season. They call it a season goal. And then a stretch goal. And for the stretch goal, they said, that's the goal for your entire cross-country career. Okay? So she's a freshman. That's, you know, three more years after that if she continues on. And so the first one should be one that I think I can meet this year. And the other one is one that I think I can meet within the next 3 years, right? And so she set two goals, a season goal and a stretch goal. She broke them both in the next race. So the stretch goal was not quite stretch enough, right? It wasn't quite far enough out there because she broke both goals in the very next race. And so it's you know, figuring out what is the right amount of challenge it takes time, it takes experience, it takes repetition. But the idea, though, is that a goal should be something that pushes you beyond where you are today. I've got another passage there from Ephesians 4, something that we looked at very recently. It talks about, in the middle part of Ephesians 4, how God has given all Christians these incredible blessings of teachers, apostles and prophets and elders and on, which we talked about, you know, that a lot of that to us today is the Word of God. He's given us the Word of God and given us people who can teach the Word of God. For what purpose? To grow up in every way into Him as the head, into Christ. For us to grow. That's why we have the Word of God, to grow. And so goals should push us to grow. But at the same time, a goal needs to be attainable. Okay? If you put a goal too far out in front of you, you're more likely to give up and quit than you are to push forward. Okay, for example, if today, you know, I inject you with truth serum and you say, I do not study my Bible at all outside of church service, okay, then it's probably not the best idea to say, my goal is to study the Bible 4 hours a day moving forward. Right? You're probably not going to go from 0 to 4 hours a day overnight, right? That's not attainable. And so if you set that goal, and after a week of doing it 4 hours a day, I'm being a little absurd, okay? I understand that, to make a point. But if the first week you try to do 4 hours a day, and the end of the first week you're like, woo, I cannot do that, and you just quit, right? And you go back to 0, okay? So it has to be something that is attainable. that's reasonable, okay? Otherwise, you're more likely to give up on it. So again, this is it's something that you have to work on, but something that is attainable. Third thing, measurable. Type of goals that I'm talking about are things that you can track, that you can measure, okay? While it is perfectly great to have a goal of saying, I want to be more kind, or I want to have more empathy, or I want to... Those are hard things to measure, right? And sometimes these goals that we set that we can measure can help us improve in areas that we can't measure. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute, okay? But they should be things you can measure. Again, if it's volunteering, well, how much do you want to volunteer? If it's encouragement, how much do you think you can offer encouragement? Prayer, how often are you going to pray that you can measure? Okay, we'll talk more about this in just a minute. The next thing, persevere. This is where we move in from the idea of setting goals to how we keep goals, okay? Persevere. It is inevitable if you become regular at setting goals that you are going to face setbacks, okay? You're going to face setbacks, okay? Let me give you an example. How many of you have ever started a daily Bible program on January the 1st? And then when you get to Leviticus and Numbers, you're like, I can't do it anymore. I can't read this stuff anymore. And then you become 2 days behind, and you become 4 days behind, and you become 8 days behind. And you're like, okay, tomorrow I got to read 9 days worth of stuff, right? And I got to catch up. Well, then I'm 30 days behind, and I'm 40 days behind. And like, I got to read a whole month's worth at one time. Right? Anybody else ever done that? It happens. I remember, this is not related to spiritual matters, it's related to running. Okay? When I was in kind of my probably 10-year period where running kind of consumed my life, I hired a coach to design all my workouts to help me meet my goals. And I remember one time I looked at my workouts for the week, and on Saturday he had me running 18 miles. Okay? So that Saturday, this was probably early July, it's probably, 80, 90 something degrees, and 18 miles. And I'm running, and I'm in shape to run 18 miles. But I'm running, and after about 12 miles, I was like, I don't feel good. And I stopped and got some water. And after 12 and a half miles, I stopped and got some water again. And after 13 and a half miles, I stopped and lay down on the ground. And then after 14 miles, I stopped and got some more water. And then after 15 miles, I'm dumping water on my head. And after 15 and a half, I stop and walk for a while. But get the point? I didn't have it, but I was like, I got to hit 18. I got to, because it's what's on my schedule. So I just kept dinking and dinking and dinking until finally, after way longer than it should have taken, I got to 18. My coach called me that afternoon and said, how'd it go? I said, it was awful. It was awful. He said, why? I said, because I just didn't, after 12 miles, I just didn't have it. And he's what happened the rest of the way? I told him, he goes, why did you do that? I said, because it said 18 on my schedule. He goes, but you didn't have it. I said, well, what should I have done? He says, you should have quit after 12. I said, well, then should I have done 18 the next day? He said, no, you forget about that day and you move on to the next day of your schedule. You forget and you move on. I think the same principle applies. If you're like, I'm going to read the Bible every day, and you find yourself that you've gone 10 days without reading, don't feel like you've got to read 11 days worth the next day. Pick back up and where you were, right? Because it's better to finish the Bible in a year and a half or 2 years than to not finish it at all. Just pick back up where you were. Same thing with any goal. If you're like, hey, I missed a month or I missed 2 months, don't beat yourself up on it. Just pick back up and move forward, right? Persevere. Persevere. It's an important concept in keeping goals. Accountability. Okay. This is not going to apply to every goal because you're going to have some goals that are too personal that you don't want to or need to share with others. But for some goals, it can help to share them with other people, right? It can help to share them with other people. Even set them with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Do them together so that you have someone that is there to encourage you and someone for you to encourage. I'm telling you right now, one of my goals is to read through the Bible straight through next year. Okay? That's one of my goals. I'm not going to do it. Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm and Proverbs. I'm not doing chronological. I'm just going straight through. Okay? Anybody wants to join me in that, we can do it together. Okay? Encourage each other. Okay, that's one of my goals for 2024. Okay, but I think accountability is a powerful thing. One of the things with running that always helped me was, especially when I was, you know, I was going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go run. If I knew there was somebody out there sitting in a parking lot waiting for me to show up, right? Really hard to keep hitting the snooze button when you know somebody's waiting on you. It's a whole lot easier to hit the snooze button when there's nobody but you, because then there's no one that you have to answer to, right? So if you share some of your goals with others or even set them together, then you increase accountability. You encourage each other, okay? Last thing, front and center. Okay, I told you these are not super polished. They don't form a word. They don't all start with the same letter. But front and center, what do I mean by that? I think one way to help with goals is to make sure that you keep them in front of you all the time. What do I mean by that? Write them down. Put them on your calendar. Tape them to your mirror. Use a magnet to put them on your refrigerator. Use a sticky note in your car. Something to keep them in front of you. Because again, why are we setting goals to begin with? To make our walk with Christ the number one priority in our life. And if we constantly keep putting it in front of us, we are coaching ourselves to say, have you made it a priority today? Have you made it a priority today? You know, and again, the same technique is not going to work for everybody. So figure out what works for you and keep that goal front. Center. Okay? Right in front of you. Okay? Because if you don't write it down and you don't keep track of it and you don't put it anywhere, you're probably going to forget about it. It's probably going to become numb to you at some point. Okay? Now again, all of this comes from my own personal reflection. Because I realized in my life I needed more of this. So, well, how can I be a big believer in goal setting and not be willing to set spiritual goals myself? Okay? Not structured ones like I'm talking about. And so I thought, you know, it's New Year's, we think about resolutions, why not offer this up as a challenge to everybody? And the whole reason to set goals, not to earn something, not to be worthy, because we're never going to be worthy, we're never going to earn something. If you create a checklist, you're not going to be more holy the more checkboxes that you have. We're not going to earn anything. But what God and Christ expect from us is always moving forward. Constant growth, consistently increasing in maturity. That is what walking with Christ, having Christ as our master, is all about. And so the whole purpose of this is to cause us to grow, to spur us to grow. And so whether you set a goal that lasts for 1 month or 6 months or 1 year or 5 years, I'm not talking about a New Year's resolution. I'm talking about building a habit for the rest of your life of setting goals to push you forward spiritually. And so I encourage everyone to think about it. You know, whether you set them by tomorrow or you set them by next week or you set them by 6 months from now. Again, I'm not talking about a New Year's resolution. I'm talking about setting a plan for how we're going to build our life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. The reason why this matters is because all of us, universally, are nothing without Christ. We're nothing without Him. And the whole reason why we choose Him as our master and the whole reason why we choose to build our life on Him is because we recognize that the only way to be with Him for eternity is to make Him the master instead of us. And if you're here this morning and you've never done that, you've never made the decision to make Him your master, you've never been baptized to be united in His death, if you've never made that decision, we encourage you to start that today. We encourage you to start that today. If there's anything else we can do for you, if we can encourage you, if we can pray for you, that I encourage anyone that wants to come forward while Steve leads us in our invitation song.